Hi everyone, it's Nelly here. How are you doing? Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I don't say that enough. I really want to thank you. You're bloody rippers. I really appreciate it. Now, for all things Dear Nelly, please go to our brand new website. It is at dearnellypodcast.com. I made it myself. You can get free resources. You can send me a voicemail. You can sign up to Patreon for bonus episodes and other perks. You can book tickets to live shows. Oh my goodness, you can do it all at dearnellypodcast.com. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Darabin in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Now, lastly, this is a sex, dating, and relationships podcast for adults. If you don't like swearing, it's really going to give you the shit. So, off you fuck!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice. Dear Nelly, yes, some help would be nice. Dear Nelly, I'm eager to hear your point of view. Dear Nelly, there's a lot to explore. Dear Nelly, when you're 40 or more. Dear Nelly, so I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Get down.
Leave that in, Sammy.
Get down.
Jane.
Angry dog mum. She waits for me to be on Zoom and then she goes through my stuff because she knows that I'm like,
of course,
the computer.
There is not a mother alive who can get on the phone. Like, your kids, your dogs, your whatever needs you will be silent for fucking hours the minute you pick up that phone. Mom, I've shat myself. That's a lovely introduction. Welcome to Dear Nelly, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. This is an international premiere, Kirsty Wiebeck. International. This is your, our first Thirsty Thirds.
Yes. Thirsty Kirsty for the Thirsty Thirds.
Thirsty Kirsty. How do you feel about Thirsty Thirds? It was a listener idea. I'm running with it. What do you think?
I love it. I prefer it exponentially over
40 seconds.
I can barely even say it, but Thirsty Thirds, I'm here for it. I love it.
One of my favourite things about Floppy Sexons is just seeing the reaction of the various co-hosts.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm not prude. It's just one of those, like,
oh, it's gross.
It gives me the ick. Like, it's just yuck, isn't it?
It's like one of those cat memes where they're vomiting, like,
Yeah, that's right.
A visceral reaction. So what we're going to do in Thirsty Thirds, obviously, in our first episode with you, we went through your relationship history. We had a chat and we took some calls. Obviously, people should go back and listen to that. Sloppy Seconds, you got to ask me a question. Thirsty Thirds, we're going to do a couple of new segments, but I'll get to those when we get to them. We're still going to do calls and so on. What I would like to know is, A, how you've been, and B, you're about to embark on another national tour, and you know my listeners love you. So tell me.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm great. Thank you. I'm frantically working on the show, essentially. So at the moment, like, just any stage time is good stage time. But, I've got people contacting me like, oh, I've got this open mic. Like, it's just behind a skip bin in Little Collins Street. No one will be there. And I'm like, yes, I'll come down. I'll do half an hour, no problem. Like, just driving past bus stops. And I'm like, oh, six people waiting for the 402.
That'll do.
Yeah, I'll jump out.
That'll do. Oh my God. Can I tell you my absolute and the listeners, my favorite worst, it's not the worst gig I've had, but the least organized one. It was, I'm ashamed to say, as a feminist, an International Women's Day event. It was in a park. I was literally, Kirsty Wiebeck, literally given a milk crate to stand on.
Incredible.
And when I asked for some amplification, and I swear to Jeebus Christmas, I'm not making this up, they gave me a megaphone. Right? People just walking across the grass in front of me, just like, what am I doing with my life? But you would do that gig at the moment because you're working up a show.
I was about to say who books that. I'll do it. I'll do it for free. I'll do 3 hours this afternoon for free in
Love it.
Carlton Gardens on a milk crate with a megaphone. No problem.
Love it. But you know what? All your show, I think I've been to every single one of your shows. They are amazing. I am booked in to come this year. I want all
Thank
the
you, mate.
listeners to come. I'll come in Melbourne, but you're going all over the country, really.
I really am. I'm doing, this is my biggest tour ever, actually. I'm doing, what am I doing? So I'm opening in Canberra in a couple of weeks. Completely sold out Canberra. God love them.
Woot, woot.
Stoked about that. So Canberra, then straight after Melbourne, Sydney, Auckland, first time over at New Zealand Comedy Festival.
Amazing.
Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to do Cairns, Perth, Brisbane, Hobart, Launceston, Newcastle Comedy Festival, Warrnambool, and then I'm going to tack on a bunch of regional dates a little bit later on as well. So,
Incredible.
all the big ones. Like, anyway, the whole tour is up on my website, kirstywebeck.com.
Which will
But
be in the show notes. And can I say, I've had several listeners. It's very interesting how you get pockets of listeners in places. I assume they tell each other. There is quite a strong following in Tasmania. And they're
oh,
like,
awesome.
yeah, when are you coming to Tassie? When are you coming to Tassie? I'm going to be blunt with you. I'm probably not coming to Tassie anytime soon. But not because I don't love Tassie. I just am too time poor with the kids and all that stuff.
Of
But Kirsty
course.
Wiebeck's coming to Tassie.
I'm coming to Tassie and I'm coming to Hobart and Lonnie. And last year I came and did a show in both of those places, not a solo, like a triple headliner show. And they were a couple of my favorite shows of the entire
I
year.
love it.
And yeah, they're so supportive and great. And
Yes.
I did Festivali in Launceston a few weeks ago as
Beautiful.
well, which was amazing. But like the Hobart and Launceston people, like they're just so excited that you've come down. So, but both of those shows are already selling. They're months away and they're both already selling quickly as well. So
Of course they
they
are.
just, yeah, they get around you. So
Can I
I'm
say the
this.
name of your show? Because I love to say it whilst trying to imitate you.
Okay. This will be
I
hurtful.
will obviously put the links to all of this in the show notes so you can find Kirsty's show. But you can also just gurgle. You can also Google Kirsty
Google
Wiebeck,
me.
gurgle you, and don't be filthy. And the show title as well. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, that's one.
I am obsessed with. It's such a great
Yeah,
title.
thank you, mate. I mean, the show is—it's really funny. Like, whenever people try and speculate on what the show's about, which has happened to me a lot in press interviews lately, they decide that judging everything. Like, I'm gonna get up there and tear strips off stuff. But I
That's not
guess
your
if you.
vibe.
Well, I was about to say, I guess if you know me as a comedian,
Yeah,
you'd
nah.
know that that won't be the angle. So it's just full of a bunch of really silly stories as usual. That's my jam. Just literally something for everyone, and it is about trying to be less judgmental.
Oh, how
And
lovely.
yeah, and and choosing the right things to be judgmental about. So, you know, like bigger issues rather than, you know, being annoyed at Molly's new haircut. So
leave your gun in your holster. You know,
yeah, like yeah, bring yeah, it out totally.
When it's required. Oh, that's lovely. I'm looking forward to that. It would be remiss of me not to remark that it's also your 6th anniversary with your lovely partner, Al.
Yeah, 6 years this week. Yeah,
how's long time. That?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I mean we're not massive anniversary guys, really. and we don't. I mean, I always kept on top of it, and I somehow have forgotten exactly what the date is, but.
Right.
It's somewhere between the 26th and the 28th of February.
Yeah. And how do you mark the anniversary dates? The day you met, or is it the day you decided you're official? Is it the day you boned? What's going on?
It's probably the day we got together, I guess, because we'd known each other for a while. So
it was an office romance.
It was an office romance, and I'm just trying to think now how we marked that. So we got together, and then like 3 days later, she went on, I think it was like a 6-week holiday.
Overseas, yeah.
Yeah, she went over to the Middle East and stuff for like 6 weeks. So, and we kind of just parted ways and didn't discuss it or anything, like what was going to happen.
Mm.
I think I just assumed, like, I was about to do Adelaide Fringe and Melbourne Comedy Festival, so I think we were just like, oh, we'll just see where we're at when she gets back. And then we were on the phone every day.
Yeah.
And I felt really guilty because I was like, you're on this holiday that you've been so excited about and you're on the phone to me the whole time. But then a few weeks into that, we were just like, do you know what? Let's just call it. And I was like, I'm just going to wait for you to get back. And then let's sort of see what happens. And so we pretty much made it official while she was away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that means, is that making it official means, I don't know, I mean, in my terms, it would mean like I'm off the apps or I'm not dating or whatever. Like I'll wait.
Yeah, not hooking up with anyone. Yeah.
See what happens.
That's right. Yeah, not party pashing anybody at Festival Club in the Comedy Festival or anything like that. Like, yeah, we basically made it exclusive. So,
jeez, I do love a party pash though. Oof, love a party pash. Mad for it.
Who isn't? It's one of the best things about being single. It's all the rest of it that's a nightmare.
All the rest, exactly. All right, I'm going to introduce now our next segment, which is a new segment for Thirsty Thirds. I laboured over this. You know how when you're distracting yourself from shit you should be doing? So I laboured over the title of this one segment for days, I reckon. So I've decided to call it Love Me Tender, where I invite, I know, Elvis problematic, whatever, email courtesy. Where I invite you as the co-host to tell me like some kind of cultural something about love, sex or romance that is significant for you. So it could be a poem, could be a book, could be song lyrics, whatever it is. So have you brought something to share?
Yeah, I have. So this is probably quite coming of age.
Is it tattoo?
Me? No, it's not, but that would be funny. And also, that's like one of my longest running jokes on
I know.
Twitter.
I know.
Like every few months just going, you know, like was having a lovely day but then remembered that tattoo were fake lesbians.
Oh, my God. I think the first day we met, I think was a gig for the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre or one of those things. It was me, you and Cal is all I remember. We were all on the bill. And you did that joke. And I'm like, I fucking love this bitch. I love her. And I'm still obsessed with that joke over a decade later. So what did you bring? Not tattoo.
Not tattoo. So I have brought a film.
Ooh.
An indie. Was that on the list or have I gone rogue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay. As I said it, I was like, wait up.
It's not Radio National, babe. Like, do whatever you want.
Great. So my film is a little indie Australian film
yeah.
that I remember watching I think I watched it in film class when I was like 16,
Ooh.
before I knew that I was queer or
Yeah.
gay, or before I cared about whether or not I was, I guess. I guess deep down I probably knew. It's called Love and Other Catastrophes.
Oh my God, I love that film.
Do you? It's
I
still one of my
love
favorites.
that film. It was
It
set
still
at
holds
Melbourne
up.
Uni, right?
It was set at Melbourne Uni.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correctly, it was done on a budget of like, it was $10,000 or $15,000.
Two words
But,
for you, Rada Mitchell.
oh, mate, absolutely.
Hot and tot hottie.
And, but also Frances O'Connor.
Oh,
Like,
gorgeous.
I
Yeah.
was absolutely obsessed with them. And I'll tell you a funny story before I forget it. I never approach celebrities or public figures
Yeah.
or anything like that. Like I just don't do it because I'm like, what would I say
Yeah.
to them?
Yeah.
The only ones that I ever approach are ones that impacted me in my formative years. And
Yes.
I feel like I'm doing it for like teenage Kirsty.
Yes.
And so I was waiting for a coffee years ago. When I was starting out in comedy, like I was still, I was flying Jetstar. And
Or not
that's a lot.
flying.
I was about to say that's a lie. Like it was either Tiger or walking at that
That's
point.
why you were at a coffee shop because your flight had been cancelled.
Yeah, exactly. And I was waiting for my coffee and I noticed that Alice Garner was in the queue.
Yes.
And she ordered her coffee and then she came and stood next to me. And like, I just, like, my heart was
Yeah.
pounding. And
Yeah.
I was going, like, what do you, come on, leave it
Could
alone,
I?
Kirsty. Like, what are you going to say? And then
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm like, that movie completely changed my
Yeah.
life in many ways. And, it was such a big sort of awakening for me that I eventually said to her, I was like, oh, yeah, so, like, sorry to bother you, Alice. Like, I just
Excuse
wanted to
me.
tell you.
Yes, I'll be the judge of that movie.
Alice. And I said it to her. I was like, I just wanted to tell you that, like, I loved all of your work when I was growing up because she did Strange Planet and a bunch of other stuff as well that I adored. Gee, that was a peak time.
Yeah,
Like
beautiful.
when I was a teenager to my early 20s in like Australian film.
Yeah, it
They were
was
just
actually.
churning out
Yeah.
bangers.
Yeah. And what do you reckon that movie? I mean, obviously it was important to you as a sort of emerging little queerdo, but what did it teach you, do you think, or it's your formative years, like what did it teach you about love or relationships?
I don't know if I was looking at it that, like through that lens, and I
Yeah.
haven't watched it probably since my mid 20s. But if I think about the plot now, and I mean, the thing I was really interested in was just that they were having so much fun and they
Yes.
were just throwing themselves into things. And
Yes.
there was obviously a huge amount of friction in the relationship between Frances O'Connor's character and Radha Mitchell's. And there was, like, spoiler alert, the like breaking up and getting back together and all of that stuff. So I guess it depicted how tumultuous relationships are. But if
At
I
that
think back on
age,
it,
especially, right?
well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly the what I wanted to say at that age.
Yeah.
Things definitely even out when you grow up and whatever, but when you're at university
Hopefully.
and they don't for everybody. They really
They
don't.
really don't.
And we've all got those mates,
Yeah.
or we've all been that
Yeah.
mate, who thought they'd have their stuff together a little bit earlier
Yeah.
than they did. But no judgment. I won't be the judge of your relationship.
Yeah.
But I think it was a pretty accurate depiction, even now. And do you know what I also really love about it? Is it was years ahead of its time. In that it was just incidental that those two women were gay.
Oh, 100%. And my memory, correct me if I'm wrong, they weren't even labeled.
They weren't labelled. They would
Right?
no, they were never labelled. They
They were
weren't.
just like, you're hot, I'm hot, let's be hot
Yes.
together.
Yes, that's exactly
Yeah.
right. And like, yeah, it was never like, oh, like these are our lesbian friends. Like it
It
was,
wasn't a big coming out story. I mean, I
no.
love all those things as well, but there is a danger in, like, for any minority that all you see is the struggle. and the pain and this flagellation and all that kind of stuff, rather than kind of going, oh, actually, they just really like each other and they got together.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something that a lot of queer people really enjoyed about Schitt's Creek was
Yes.
that even though it was, set in this little town that most of us would have attached stereotypical ideas of how the people would be in the town, no one ever mentioned or cared whatsoever about David being queer and then ultimately having the boyfriend. It was never a thing. It was just, yeah, his character is queer and that's cool, like
Well,
no
and even
stress.
more than that, which I think was delightful, Patrick, his boyfriend, for
Yeah,
people who haven't
Patrick.
seen, had been with women only, I think, but prior to David. And he did have a little bit of a wobble about, telling his parents. But again, it wasn't labored. He wasn't tortured. He wasn't, it's not like he'd gone, I've been in the closet for 20 years and now I've got, like, he just went, I love you. And, I want to be with you. And I need to work out how to tell mum and dad, but and their reaction was also great. Like, they set it up as though his parents were going to freak out, when in fact what they were upset about was that he didn't feel he could tell them.
Which
It's
is very
lovely.
common as well.
Lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I think that's something that I really love now. I didn't think about it again at the time, but now looking back on Love and Other Catastrophes, because I remember, as speaking of Schitt's Creek as well, I remember a few years ago, I can't remember what it was called, but Dan Levy was in it. It was a Kristen Stewart Christmas queer
Oh, yes,
movie.
I saw
Real
that.
tongue twister there. And Claire Duvall had directed it, and I love her. I love everything she does. And so I was like, this is going to be sick. Dan Levy's put his name to it. This is going to be awesome. Who doesn't love Kristen Stewart? And then I remember we went to the drive-in to watch it. Amazing. Underrated activity right there. And it turned out to be another like toxic queer relationship,
It was
like
really disappointing because it was also very much like, oh, just kind of justifying being closeted is the way that I read it. Like, you should do that for your partner because you don't want to upset the parents. And really toxic relationship between the two women. And
yeah,
yeah, no,
and it
I'm
was
with
like,
you.
because it was only a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, I was like, just with the names attached to it and also the progress that we've made, I was like, this is just going to be a cute Christmas movie, which I'm all about. I love a Christmas movie,
Yeah, same.
no matter what the sexuality of the people involved in it are, I love them. And so I was really bummed about it, but it's and I haven't really thought about Love and Other Catastrophes in that light until right now as we're speaking. And I'm like, yeah, I mean,
So
this
much
movie
better.
was out when I was a teenager. Like, so it's at least 25 years old,
Do you
and
know
they
what else
managed to
was?
just.
What else was better about it? So often there's like a desexualizing of queer characters, and that was sexy.
Yeah, it
Love
was
and Other
really sexy.
Catastrophes was sexy, and that was it only ever alluded to in the Christmas movie you're talking about. In fact, it was very platonic, is the way that it felt to me. And that there was a kind of thing, I think, at that time when Love and Other Catastrophes came out, that you could only have a Mr. Humphreys, who could be really, really camp, but he'd never have a boyfriend. Like, God forbid anyone should have to think about him holding hands or
That's
passionless. So it
right.
really was ahead of its time.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, and nothing's been done like it since. But, and for me, like, it wasn't even, it was really double-barreled for me because I was like, I was starting to creep towards, being 18 and, at the world was my oyster. What was I going to do next? I was excited about potentially going to university, really excited about being a grown up. And then, and so it showed all of that and that university
All of
lifestyle and
that,
stuff. And then it happened to have these queer characters in it as well. So, yeah, I
excited
just
about Radha
adore it.
Mitchell.
Very excited about it. Do you know, I've got to be honest with you, 100% behind Radha Mitchell, of course. Absolutely.
You're a
I'm not a
Francis
monster.
woman. Is that what you're gonna tell me?
And you were like watching it. Like I remember my friends and I even you know, we used to talk about things like that, but none of us knew we were queer. My immediate social group, we all ended up being queer, but we all had boyfriends at the time. Boyfriends.
We're all gay.
Yeah. Boyfriends who we glanced at occasionally across the courtyard. But yeah, we'd all do that in field class. We'd be we were divided between being Team Francis or Team Rada.
Oh, I'm 100% Team Rada, but I wouldn't say no to either. Let's be clear.
Yeah, you're not a monster.
I don't like such choices. That's a false economy. No. Abundance, yeah, right?
Hi, Nelly. I'm not going to tell you my name because I'm terrified somebody might find out my beautiful secret. But I was married for 10 years, had two beautiful children, share custody with my ex-husband, who's an absolute douchebag. But year and a half to 2 years later, and after listening to The Single Life of Us and you, Nelly, for all of the support I needed, I ventured into dating and really wanted to meet a woman and have done so now. My question is, I have two kids and she's never dated somebody with children before, and I know that she's nervous about it. And one of the things I'm loving about dating a woman at the moment is that you can have these very open conversations and they talk back, which is a treat. But curious how to navigate that as well. It feels like, switching frames a little bit for me, going from being a mum one week and then a hot lady lover the next week. And I think just trying to figure out how I navigate when the time comes, which won't be for a while yet, but just are there ways that I can maybe help her to figure out what it's like and all of those sorts of things. Anyway, thanks again for all that you do. I'm really sorry about Cal as well. I lost my best friend 2 years ago and it hurt so bad. So sending big hugs for that too. All right, thanks.
Kirsty Wiebeck, hot lady lover by day. No, probably by night. And mum by day, right? What are your thoughts? What are you hearing?
Well, firstly, I'm hearing this is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I'm here for, do you know what? Honestly, the reason I gave you this call is because I thought, obviously, I can very much empathize with her position, but I think she's asking how can she help her new partner slash lover, whatever word she wants to use, navigate it.
She sounds like such a beautiful human.
Doesn't she? Gorgeous. Yeah,
just so, so lovely. Okay, so.
Have you dated women with kids?
I have.
How'd that go?
It was fine. I mean, I'm trying to think back. Like, So. I dated somebody with kids for a little while who I never met the kids, which was like completely their prerogative, and it ended up being so short term that it worked out well. Like, it was good that they had the foresight to leave it, as this caller sounds as well. It's like, and any of my friends with kids who have been dating as well, they're the same. It's like,
give it a minute.
You keep it separate because you don't need to bring your chaotic love life into your children's lives if you're going to be dating someone different every 5 weeks or whatever. So I totally get that part of it. I dated someone for a while who had a child who I did see, and I knew they were a little bit older. They were a teenager. And it was never an issue. It's all about communication, really, and it's completely up to the parent as to what the timings are and all of that stuff in terms of meeting them. But I mean, maybe something to consider is if things get more serious with this partner and they get to a point where the caller wants to introduce them to the children and stuff, I would say that one of the biggest things that are overlooked is maybe discussing what the actual role would be in the children's lives.
Yes, even the label.
Yeah. And not saying that the caller is going to introduce, you know, the new partner or lover or whatever, and with an expectation that they're going to stay together forever and that they're going to be, you know, a certain thing from the get-go.
Is your new mum.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But yeah. But even just because if the new lover hasn't been with somebody before, I think she said they haven't dated somebody with children. Kids.
Yeah.
It would be like, well, when I met these children, am I their stepmom now?
Yeah, that's
what,
right.
Like, what am I meant to be doing? And I know that probably sounds absolutely wild to the person that is the parent. They're probably like, absolutely not. But no, you need to define it.
Because some people, I reckon this is a really interesting area. Like, if I just go based on my friends, and that'll be the same as you, multiple sexualities, like not just same sex. Some people do have that view. Like, I'm dating someone new. Here's your stepdad.
Yeah, here's sure. Okay.
I don't have that view, but I think you want to, as you said, you've got to be very, very clear in communication, because she may be assuming, especially if she's never dated someone with kids, part of her hesitancy might be, fuck, I'm going to have to be a parent.
Yeah. And if you're someone who has never wanted to be a parent,
yeah,
you're like, oh, I'm falling for this person, but yes, now I'm going to be a parent. Mm. Whereas,
what does that mean?
Yeah, like in the example of the person I dated for a while who had the teenager who I did know, like we were just mates.
Yeah.
Like the teenager and I, like, because I absolutely love children, but I don't want to be a parent and I don't want children of my own.
Mm.
So it was like
oh, you'd be the best bloody mum's girlfriend. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you would be
the best, because you're fun. You know, I think I would encourage her to consider, like, there's a couple of things. One, I'm really, really big on obviously delaying for as long as is practical, introducing the kids. And that's for two reasons. That's for the kids, first and foremost, so that they don't have a, like, revolving cast of, you know, new mums and dads and whatever, new adults in their life that they can get attached to. But also for her. Right.
Yeah.
If she has been, for whatever reason, in a relationship that was unfulfilling and she's now discovering this part of herself, even if it wasn't a same-sex thing, even if she was with a new bloke, keep it for yourself.
You know,
keep it fun, keep it light, let yourself have that kind of giddy, you know, teenage 20s moment for a while. Like, there's no rush. If it's going to last, there's no rush for that to merge lives and for them to become part of your family and vice versa. Enjoy
Absolutely.
It. It's fun. Yes.
Yeah, it is really fun. And you're right. Like, it's a separate thing from your family life and, like, your commitments at home and whatever. It's like, it's super fun. And I mean, even when there's no children involved, like, we so frequently rush into these things and take away that excitement of the dating or the not seeing each other for 4 days and then having date night. And
we
get away from that and, like, and move in together and start stressing about paying bills and stuff immediately. And it's like, enjoy that time.
The day-to-day life and the, you know, the big excavation, all those things have to happen for a relationship to, you know, develop any depth. But there's nothing wrong with keeping that, you know, light and fluffy for yourself and discovery and just the frisson and all that kind of stuff. I understand the disconnect, and I think this is a really interesting area that is not discussed very much. I think for a lot of mums in particular, because of there's so many cultural overlays, there's Madonna whore, there's all the stuff, there can be a real disconnect between going, oh, my God, like Friday night, am I the same person as I am Monday morning?
Yeah, sure. Lunch,
you know what I mean? And trying to integrate those two things can be a real challenge. I've known, and I'm sure you have, I've known women who have become mothers and their sex drive has plummeted, and it's not just because they're tired, right? Sometimes it is actually like even unconsciously some message in the back of your head going, this isn't what mothers do. Mother, like there's some kind of Mary and bloody Magdalene thing going, you know, like there's something going on
Mom's
and
like
you need
sexy.
To unpack that because you can be both. You can be a bloody hornbag and a great mum.
Big time.
Case in point, sitting right in front of you.
I was about to say, if you ever tour a solo show ever again, hornbag and a really great mum.
Yeah. You can have it all. But I
like
agree.
That.
The communication, I reckon, is the key because
100%.
You could so easily be at cross purposes here. I can imagine this woman thinking, all right, if I sign up to a long-term relationship with you, I need to be prepared to be a step parent. What does that mean financially? What does it mean emotionally? What does it mean if we break up? What it like very big questions. Whereas she might be actually going more the model that you're talking about, which frankly is the one I would subscribe to more of, is certainly for quite some time, you're a mate. You know?
Yeah.
And even if leave open the possibility that your kids may not even like her. They have to be respectful. You know, they have to be whatever. They can't treat it like shit, but they don't have to love her.
No, that's right. But yeah, I had the exact same relationship with that girlfriend's child that I have with my mate's children.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's awesome. Mm. And if you went into a relationship with somebody with children, knowing that that
quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It was all that was expected of you,
yes.
Even if you ended up, you know, being life partners forever, that you would just have the same relationship as you do with any other children in your life, then it's barely even a variable.
Like an auntie maybe. You know, if you're looking for words to attach to it.
Yeah, probably. And auntie sounds less weird than my 40-year-old mate. I mean, I said that I was just mates with this teenager, and as I was saying it, I was like, mates feels weird, but like.
Having said that, telling people this is my mum and my auntie, who's my mum's girlfriend, is also weird.
This is my mum and my mum's travelling companion, Kirsty.
This is my mum's very special friend. do you know, let's name it as well. I think one of the fears, I've certainly had these discussions, one of the fears for the new girlfriend may well be the opposite. It may well be that she'll get really attached to the kids, and then what happens if they break up? Because, you know, you and I would have both seen friends in that position where, I mean, I've had friends who've been in relationships with women with children for, you know, 10 years. Who then that has ended and they have not been allowed to see the child or the children.
Right.
And that's heartbreaking.
Sorry, Nellie. Sorry. Joan, stop barking, please. Joan. Goodness me.
Speaking of custody.
She responds to goodness me. Like she knows that it's like mum's disappointed. Like this, like 2.5-year-old Pomeranian, and I'm like, goodness me. And she's like, oh no, I'm so sorry.
Fair enough.
But yeah, sorry. So you were saying that then they weren't able to see their children anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had friends in similar situations. And then, I mean, conversely, I've got friends in a situation where they were in a relationship with someone who already had children. And it was a very long-term relationship, and those children are still very much in their lives and are yeah, even though the parents don't even talk.
Yep.
It's like they're going to see the other parents still.
Yep, me too. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, it's yeah, we've both already said it. It comes down to whatever the relationship is that you define together would be between the partner and the children. And on that, like, even though the people that you and I are talking about were probably more in a step-parenting kind of role, it could still be true of the children growing up, and even if you were just in that auntie kind of role or that friend kind of role, they could still be, you know, potentially a part of your life or whatever. But you have to keep talking about these things. And when you said that you might have cross purposes and until you have a discussion about it, the partner might have all these huge questions and be jumping ahead and envisaging this life that she'd never imagined she'd have and, like, feeling worried about that, whereas the caller might be like, yeah, we'd just date and I'd look after the kids.
Yeah, totally. Exactly right.
It could be, like, that simple, like,
because
to alleviate any concerns.
The cultural script we have is that you will start dating, you'll get serious, you'll get married, you're now stepmom. And the whole point of this podcast really is to kind of go rip that shit up. Like, you get to decide and actually have that conversation with her. The only thing I'd say that for me as a mum would be an absolute deal breaker is if she didn't like your children, right? Because I personally wouldn't want anyone to be around my kids that didn't, they don't have to love them the way that I do. They don't have to have a maternal role. But if they didn't like your kids, I don't want that energy around my kids. And
yeah, well, kids,
you're always going to come first.
Yeah. And kids are incredibly perceptive. They pick up on that energy. But the other thing as well is, like, having that energy in your life in any kind of capacity, it's toxic. Like, it would seep into your relationship and, like, eat it alive from the inside
out.
It'll
split you. And if you pick that up early, I'm sorry, like, this is one of the few instances I'll be black and white, just get out, right? Because you're not going to be able to manage that. You're not going to be able to kind of go, well, I'll see the kids on Saturday and I'll see, you know, so-and-so. You can't do that. There's got to be a level at which they understand that you're a mother and they're not threatened by that love. I've certainly had, so I'm thinking of one friend in particular who basically started seeing someone who then was like, you're too invested in this mum thing, you know? Like, just like that, off you fuck, you know? Like,
you're too invested in
the mum thing. I mean, imagine even
you're taking too good care of your children.
Oh my God, you love them too much.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's really great. And I get it. Like, I think it's perfectly reasonable from the other side. And I always think of this when I'm dating. If you look at the way that I parent, being a parent in general, what that means in lifestyle terms, how available I am, all of that kind of stuff. And you look at that and you kind of go, that's not for me. Fair enough. Like, that actually doesn't bother me at all. It's perfectly fine to go, that's not my jam. But do not date me and then go invest less.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, it's like we're a package.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a good feeling about this caller situation because of how, like, lovingly and caringly, is caringly a word? Sure it is.
It is now.
She's approaching it. It is now. I love how concerned she sounds about, you know, trying to make it all work and trying to make her new partner, like, feel as comfortable as possible and things. And the mere fact that she's called into you and has identified that it's something that she needs to consider and work through, I think.
Yeah,
I hope it goes really great for you.
I do too. And I think pragmatically, if you want some pragmatic, concrete advice, I'd be sort of saying, do exactly what you're doing now. You know, build this relationship with this woman, have some fun, hang out, develop that. When you feel like it's the right time to introduce the kids, do that. But do it kind of going, let's even schedule in a review every few months and kind of go, how's it feeling? You know, is that role shifting? Because you might start off kind of going, oh, we're just going to be mates, and as in the new woman with the kids, but 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the track, you might be going, I'm actually a bit more invested than that, you know, and maybe you need to just keep talking, just keep talking. If you move in together, for example, always. It's probably more than mates with the kids, but it doesn't have to be full blown. Sure. Now I'm your other mum.
Yeah.
There can be somewhere in the middle. Good luck. I want an update. I love this. All right. Are you ready for another call?
Ready.
Hey, Nellie. I'm hoping you can share some ideas with me and advice. I have always been with men and was married to one for a long time. And I keep hearing terms like sapiophile. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. You know, current generations think really differently about gender identity and fluidity, etc. I wonder about whether I may enjoy being with another woman, but I'm not really sure how to put myself in a situation where I could explore that more and find out. And if I go to a lesbian bar, then do I just stand out as the one who's not sure, who could be really annoying for other women who don't want to have their time wasted? Or, you know, I don't want to piss anyone off or be unkind or unfair to them. So what do I need to keep in mind? Yeah, I think that wraps it up. All right. Thanks so much. Long time listener to a few of your podcasts. Keep on keeping on.
Oh my God, it's the bloody lesbo edition today. Hello. All right, now I'm going to ask
you. I love it. Queen of the Wizards is in.
For both of us, we're going to have to be really honest about this one, I reckon, because the tendency, I don't know about your instinct, but the tendency is to kind of go, it's fine. You can explore and it doesn't matter and you can go into the lesbian bar and you can do that. But you and I both know it's much more complicated than that.
Yeah, we do know. And this is a tricky one as well, because like the way the caller's speaking, is she speaking that way because she just hasn't come to terms with it?
Mm.
Or is she just like, oh, maybe I'll just have a crack at it?
Yes.
Because it's really hard to, I mean, just the way she's articulated it, but it could just be that it's an uncomfortable thing for her to discuss because she hasn't really been in that world before.
Yes.
So this is the way that she's just literally communicated it verbally to us. My gut reaction to begin with was like, oh, don't just dip a toe in. Like if you, you know, so to speak, I mean, you should definitely talk to somebody before you dip a toe in. Like no shade if that's your thing, but you need to be upfront about it. So, okay. I'm loving it. I'm like, you can see the wheels turning in my head.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, right. Okay. Because you're going to ask me what I wanted to just say anyway. So go. Yeah.
Have you ever felt like someone's experiment?
You know the answer to that. Like, look at me. Yes, 100%, yes. A million times.
And how did that
Why?
Feel?
Because I'm well, it really depended on where I was at in my life. Like, it was, you know, was it American Pie where there's that thing where, I think it was American Pie where he's like, I've been used.
Mm.
I've been used.
Yeah.
Like annoyed and then, like, sick. So, you know, there were times in my life where absolutely, like, I was just out there and I was just leaping with people and having a really fun time.
Yeah.
Did I care about what their agenda was at the time? No, absolutely not, because we were upfront with each other. Yeah. Like I was in a big hookup phase of my life. You just dabbling, cool, no worries. Mm. Come over and dabble with me. I've got an appointment in the morning, so please leave by 8. Like, but then there are other times in my life where I was genuinely looking for and ready for a relationship or something more serious or, you know, whatever. And, I mean, I think I've spoken to you about this before. Like, until my early 30s, I'd exclusively been with previously straight women.
Mm.
like I'd never dated or hooked up with, or like everyone just coincidentally. I mean, it must have been something deeply subconscious in me. But I'd go home with somebody and then the next day they'd be like, you're the first woman I've ever been with. And I'd be like, oh, why again? But then, you know, there were people that I grew to have feelings for and stuff who turned out to be, yeah, absolutely just experimenting and then realised that, like, women weren't necessarily for them. And so it wasn't, which is a harder thing than when you're dating with or sleeping with somebody who decides that you're not the one for them. For some reason, it feels harder when they're like, oh, no, women, oh, that's right, I'm straight. Women aren't for me. And I don't know why. I don't know what the differentiation is, but I think in some ways it feels like they were more of a tire kicker.
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, yeah, I'm straight, actually. Versus someone just being like, you know what, like, we're not really compatible. Because you're like, yeah, okay, cool. That's no worries. Like, we're not compatible with everybody. So there have been plenty of times in my past where it's been incredibly frustrating, annoying, at times borderline heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To have learned that I was somebody's experiment.
Yes.
And like I said, other times it was like, cool.
Depends where you are yourself. I think the danger, and this is not, you can't apply this universally, but I think the danger can be that if this caller has never considered women's bodies as being sexually attractive before, if she is, as you say, kicking the tires, the danger is if she gets in bed with somebody and then kind of go, let's be explicit. Oh, actually, I don't like vaginas, or actually, I don't like boobs, or I don't like kissing women, or whatever it is. Think of whatever sexual activity it is. The danger is, I think, that can hit a lot of cultural shame for the person you're experimenting on, you know. So to be kind of going, actually, it is gross to be different, or it is gross for two women to be together, or it is gross, you know, like, I think there's, we still grow up even now with those narratives of what's normal. And I think for some people it might confirm a kind of rejection that's bigger than we're not compatible. It's like, this is wrong.
Yeah, I think, as usual, you've articulated something that I've been grappling with much better than I can articulate it. I think that's what I was trying to get at when I was talking about the sexuality being bigger, like being like, oh, no, I'm straight, versus, oh, you and I aren't compatible. Like, but I don't think I think I'd only scratched the surface, and I think you're bang on that the reason for what I said is, yeah, the probably shame and stigma and rejection attached to being like, oh, no, actually, thank God I'm actually straight.
Who wants someone touching your body, like whatever your gender is and whatever your configuration of your body is? Because obviously there can be women with different body parts and men, you know, I'm speaking in generalizations. No one wants someone to touch their body and go, oh, that's not for me. Like, that whole genre is not for me. Like, that's not a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Having said
you
that,
as a delegate of that genre have turned me off the entire genre.
Off the whole thing, right? Yeah, and that's how it feels, right? That's exactly how it feels. It's not, as you said, it's not, oh, maybe you're not for me. The entire species that you come from is not for me. That's how fucking gross you are. Right?
You are so yucky that I don't even want to be in a room with another woman again.
Mind you, girlfriend, keep open the possibility that you might have that experience and go, this entire species is now exclusively for me, right? That may also happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to give her direct advice, and I'd like to know what you think about it. I reckon the reality is, like, when I was on the apps, for example, if I saw someone who described themselves as experimenting, I would absolutely swipe left. I would not want to be involved in that. And that's not because I don't think they've got a right to, or they shouldn't explore their sexuality. I just don't want to be the vector. And I've been there before, and so have you. And I think that there's plenty of people who have, they've got every right to do it. but I just haven't got time for that shit, if I'm perfectly honest. Having said that, I reckon if I were in her position, I would be going to the kink site. So I'm not suggesting that same-sex attraction's a kink site, is a kink, but it is more, those sites are more explicit. So you're much more likely to be able to go, for example, my name is Barbara. I'm 52 years old. I haven't been with women before. I want to explore that. I promise you will find someone who's fucking into that. You will find someone on those sites who's like, that's actually my jam, right? I mean, again, I'm being really explicit. I like fucking straight girls. I like being part of this situation in a way that I think on your sort of lesbian sites or, on your Hinges or your Tinders, you might be less likely to find, or as she said in her call, you may risk pissing people off. I think you can try it. Like you could definitely jump on a Hinge or Bumble or wherever and say, look, I haven't been with women before, but I'm exploring. My sense is you won't get a lot of traction. What do you think?
I reckon you're bang on about not getting a lot of traction. If the caller is keen to literally just physically experiment with a woman, then probably, if you could convey that or whatever on those dating apps that you're just looking to like physically be with someone, if that is genuinely what you're after, then that could potentially increase your chances because there will be people on there like myself, like back in the day when I was going through these periods of time where I was just interested in hooking up, whereas
That's
like that would
true.
probably be really appealing
Yeah.
in some ways. Like,
So if you go
yeah.
as a starting point, you could try, I'm looking for a one night stand or casual, like something, friends with benefits. I'm not looking for a relationship. Be very clear though. Do not
Yeah.
deceive. Like I am thinking of a friend of mine who very recently matched with someone on the queer women's site. Her, went through the process of talking, all the things, went on the first date, and then the woman said, oh, actually, I've never been with a woman before, and I'm not even sure if I'm into women. And she was so gutted.
Yeah,
Like,
that's
she was
horrible.
so gutted. And she's like, why didn't you just tell me? Like,
Yeah.
we've been chatting for this time, then I could have made that decision. But
Totally.
don't waste her time,
Yeah.
Like, be, even if it's not in your profile, at least introduce it early into the conversation. I'm
Yeah.
into it. But I'm just not sure what my sexuality is. So I'm exploring.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
they
for
take it
sure.
or leave it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think
Yeah.
they're less likely to leave it. Like I said, the only one I can think of now is Field, but there's another one where hookups are much more commonly openly specified. Because I
Right.
reckon, for example, you'll find a married woman who's married to a dude who has an open relationship and sleeps with women. Like, you don't need to find a lesbian available for a lesbian relationship if you
Yeah,
just
yeah,
want to
yeah, yeah.
explore physically. You need another
Yeah,
woman,
absolutely.
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think that's great advice.
I think from the time, I mean, the fact that she's called in and that she's even aware, of kind of going, because there is a thing, I'm sure you've experienced this, I have, much younger, but there used to be a bit of a vibe of, oh, well, any queer woman would just be happy to like get in my pants.
Yeah,
And you're
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
nah, mate, no, that's not how it goes. Like, I've got other options.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like
you
everyone else, I've got to be attracted to you.
Yeah, no, I really don't.
When you asked me at the beginning if this has happened to me before, I said, look at me. You
Yeah.
know the answer to that. And I just want to clarify that what I meant is I wasn't like, yes, of course, look at me, I'm a 10 out of 10 hottie.
You are.
What I meant was I'm very non-threatening.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, which I'm very happy about, but
Yes.
it makes me a con even now that I'm in a relationship, it makes me a constant target,
Yeah.
like all the time. Like you should see the state of my DMs on my
Yeah.
Instagram account. Like it's
Way back, I have been thinking about this for like you and I are the same in a different sense, but the same vibe, I reckon. Like I have that constantly as well. Where like just the other night, I did a gig and these two straight women at the bar said to me, "Oh, we've both decided we'd turn for you," and I'm like,
Yeah.
"Not the first time I've heard it, won't be the last," right? Because it's a non-threatening kind of presence. For some reason,
Yeah.
I think both you and I'd be like, "Come here, sweetheart. This is all fine."
Yeah.
We need to do a podcast about our DMs.
Oh my
It's fucking wild out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, mine are out
Dude.
of control. I thought when, I mean, I'm very explicit about being in a relationship. Like,
Yeah.
I splash L around on my socials a little bit. Like,
Yeah.
when the need arrives, it doesn't matter.
I know.
Like, no one, and it's not, and obviously people have open relationships and stuff, but no one even asks me.
No.
Like, people literally will be like, when the cat's away, like when I'm traveling. They'll be like, "Oh, you're in Sydney. I've got tickets to your Sydney show." And then they'll write something about what we could do after the show, and then they'll infer that, like, well, like I'm out of town. Like L's back at home. Like, so they'll assume that we're in a monogamous relationship, but L's not here,
What
so who
happens on
cares?
tour?
Yeah, exactly. Like all the time, and I'm like, I'm constantly shocked by the stuff people write to me. I'm like, wow. All right, we'll leave that on unseen.
Well, dear caller, don't DM Kirsty, right?
No, stay out of my DMs.
That's
I'll let everyone know if I break up with Elle.
yes. Let everyone know if you're available. Now, we're going to end very quickly on a new segment for Thirsty Thirds, which I'm calling autobiography, which is I wanted to sort of look at a celebrity or a well-known figure and look at their relationship history. And the reason I want to do that is because so many of the callers that we get, when you are recently single, recently broken up, or you find yourself, around this age, 40 plus, and single, it feels like there's no, like you're the only one. There's no history before you, all that kind. And then you actually start to talk to people, and their story is probably very similar to yours. So I have chosen Nicole Kidman. Do you have any thoughts on Nicole Kidman?
No, I really don't. Like, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of films that she's been in. I've also not enjoyed a lot of films that she's been in, but I don't know. Like, I've always gotten a deep sense that she's out there doing her best.
Yeah, doing her thing. Can I give you her, as much as I could glean, her relationship history and see if anything surprises you? So clearly late 80s when she would have been a teenager, early 20s, she was still in Australia. So she was with Marcus Graham for a while and Tom Berlinson, who are both Australian sort of creatives. Then, of course, famously, perhaps infamously, married Tom Cruise in 1990. They were together for 11 years. And oh my God, I just remember them being such the kind of it couple. And weirdly, like rather than talking about him being a Scientologist, all the discussions were about his height. And we'll come back to that. After that, I have the sense that she was very much blindsided by that divorce and, went on a bit of a mission, shall we say. These are some of the blokes that she was with. She was engaged to Lenny Kravitz. Like I knew they were boyfriend, girlfriend, but I didn't know they'd been engaged. She was with some guy called Eric Watson, who's a Kiwi businessman. She was with the rapper Q-Tip. That one surprised me. Like I had to triple check
Wow.
that.
Yeah.
Steve Bing for a while, that rich entrepreneur, I think he's American. And this one also surprised me. For a little while, she dated Robbie Williams, which I can
Oh.
totally see those two as a couple. And then after that, we call it the Urban era, right? She's still with Keith Urban, who I'm a big fan of, I have to say. I adore Keith Urban. And they got together in, I think maybe 2005. They definitely got engaged in 2006 and they're still together. So did any of that surprise you?
Like you, Q-tip,
Q-tip.
absolutely. Yeah, and also I didn't know her and Lenny Kravitz were engaged.
No. No.
I vaguely remember them being together for a while.
They're still friends because remember, did you watch Big Little Lies? She was in,
Yes.
his daughter was in Big Little
Yeah,
Lies as
Zoe,
well.
right?
Yeah. Zoe
Yeah.
Kravitz, but they're all still friends, which is
That's
adorable.
cool. That's cool. Zoe's a babe.
Gorge.
And the rest of it, not really surprised. I mean, this is just showing me how quickly time flies by. Like, I don't think I realized exactly how long her and Keith had been together for.
Yeah.
But they seem like a wholesome couple. Like, they always
Yeah,
look
I
happy to be out
agree.
and about together. And he, by all accounts, is a lovely man.
He just seems like, I mean, obviously, like I recognize the kind of absurdity of me saying this, but I just get the feeling, from not just his music, but seeing him on, was he on The Voice or on one of those shows and
Yeah.
seeing him in interviews and things like that. I'm just like, oh, I just like you. I just like you.
You want to know something about him that made me think that he sounds like an absolute gem?
Yeah.
Is the people who have raved to me about him have worked with him on things like The Voice,
Right.
and they weren't the talent.
Yes.
So
Yes.
I've been in the makeup chair on a TV show, and the makeup artist has
Yes.
been talking about him and saying what a dream he is, and how interested he is in other people, and how like chatty and friendly and warm-up comedians
Yeah.
who quite frequently disregarded on a TV set or whatever,
Yes.
unless it's other comedians on the show that are obviously kind to them because they're their mates. But like
Yeah.
anyone outside of the comedy world, like the warm-up acts can be treated like the
Yeah, like the
bottom
help.
of the ladder is
Yeah.
exactly, that's exactly right. And so all these people behind the scenes on stuff I've worked
Yes,
on
yes.
have been like, oh, he's lovely.
Lovely
And
bloke.
some of them have running jokes with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and that's always a big thing for me is because like I always love those people when I'm working in TV and stuff like, and they're the ones that you hang out with the most during the day.
Yeah.
And you have the best chats with because you're not talking about the TV show you're about to do. You're talking
Yeah.
about their dog or whatever.
Yeah.
So whatever they tell me about people is always the thing I go away with,
And believe.
rather than the other famous person saying that
Well,
they're wonderful.
because the makeup artist can't give you a leg up, right? So if you see someone like a Keith Urban being really nice to the host of the show, well, of course they are. You'd
Yeah,
always
100%.
take that in with a grain of salt. But if they're really nice to the production people and the camera crew and the makeup artist and the da da da, you're like, well, you're actually just a decent person
Yeah, you're just a nice person who likes talking to people.
who just likes people. And I think what I find really interesting is I've seen various people interviewed about Tom Cruise, and it's quite interesting to consider whether or not Nicole Kidman has a type. I've heard the same thing about him, that he, regardless of who he's talking to, he's fully present. Like he's
Yeah, wow.
fully engaged. Like whether you are like literally the Uber dude or whatever, like if he's talking to one of those people who is eye contact, listening, remembering, fully present. And there's something very attractive about that. Because you can be forgiven of kind of going, Jesus Christ, even Nicole Kidman gets dumped. Look at her. You know what I mean? Because like, you can get dumped, at any age, but certainly in middle age, you can spiral into it because I'm not cute enough, or I'm not as pretty as I was when I was younger, or I'm not hot, or all that kind of, it's Nicole Kidman. Like it's not about that. Some things just don't work out sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure she was, my memory is that when her and Tom, well, when he left her, Tom Cruise left her, she was absolutely devastated. And where then she went on, looks like she had quite a nice time. I mean, I wouldn't mind a date or two with Lenny Kravitz.
I wouldn't say no.
Right? It's Lenny Kravitz, for Christ's sake. I mean, I don't know about
Exactly.
Q2, even Robbie Williams. I'm like, dude, you can put on a show. I reckon you'd do a good date.
He'd go all right.
And now she's landed, it sounds like, and please don't break up so that we have to talk about this in a year. But it's like, it looks like she's landed the jackpot. It looks like she's in a really lovely relationship with a really good person.
It does. It does. Hang in there, Nicole and Key. Hang in there.
Oh, Kirsten Rebeck.
I'm so sorry. We're trying to wrap up and Mum's angry again. Joan! Have we ever... Oh, can you hear her barking, by the way?
A very tiny bit, but I don't care. That's all right. Chewie's probably arc up himself.
It's more that I was wondering if we'd given context to the fact it's a dog barking, like at any point when I've been telling her off.
Well, I know, because I reckon that's just podcasting. But also, speaking of dating women with children, going back to one of our callers, one day we'll have to come back and have a chat about what you do when you break up with someone you share a dog with.
Because oh, my gosh, I've thought about this a lot.
The custody arrangements, man, it's a lot. Like, I've got friends who do week on, week off with their dog.
Same. I've got heaps of friends in that situation. Definitely. So
it's wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
Darling Kirsty Wiebeck, thank you for joining us. And we're all going to come and see your shows this year. So I'll be the judge of that.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for having me.
In the show notes and promote it on our socials. And make sure if you're a Dear Nelly listener, I know Kirsty's a talker. She would absolutely love it if you went up and had a chat.
Absolutely. I think I've told you this, that on my tour last year, I had a bunch of Dear Nelly people come and see me around the country.
Yeah.
And they waited and they said hello and they had photos and it was beautiful.
Lovely. Just don't slide into her DMs. Or do, because we'll do a new podcast about it. It'll be hilarious.
Get in there.
That's thanks, mate. The love title you. Of this episode. Get in there.
Get in there.
See you, babe.
See you.
Love ya.
Love you too.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Dear Nelly. Now, don't be shy. I would love to hear your questions and comments. To send me a recording or an email, go to nellythomas.com and follow the links. It's super easy, and you might hear me talk about your question in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production team and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent human, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team. And lastly, to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one. Please rate, review, and consider subscribing for $5 a month for a bonus episode and to help me keep the lights on. And tell your bloody mates, would ya? I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.